Good morning, everybody. The Board of Supervisors is now in session. If everyone would please rise and join me in the flag salute.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This brings us to our presentation calendar. May we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
And we have a roll call, please.
Who seconded that, please? Thank you. Mr. Shajian?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Linthal?
Aye.
Mr. Ovitt?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. The first presentation is...
Changes to the...
Oh, we have to have the changes to the agenda, please.
Oh, do you want me to do that now? Okay. Your changes to today's agenda are as follows. You have an added item on the consent agenda, item B21. This is submittal of a resolution recognizing the new Morro Bay Marine Mammals Rescue and Triage Center. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign. All requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement. Under other changes, you have an amended item. Item B6 is a request by Supervisor Ovitt to reappoint Nancy Curtis DeBost, William E. Dodd, and David J. Osgood to the Adelaida Public Cemetery District. Recommend approval. Staff is requesting that the transmittal be amended, correcting the terms of the appointments per Health and Safety Code Section 9024, Subsection B. The corrected transmittal is attached for your approval. Under amended hearing items, hearing to consider six county-initiated notices of non-renewal land conservation contracts in the 2nd and the 5th District. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign. Staff is requesting that the following information be added to the title on the cover sheet. A, County of San Luis Obispo A010003C serves notice of non-renewal of land conservation contract on five property owners within the E. Ann Perry et al. Contract involving 453 acres located on Santa Lucita Creek Road, about 1,200 feet northeast of the intersection of Santa Lucita Creek Road and Highway 1, about 3 miles east of the city of Morro Bay in the 2nd District. And item B is County of San Luis Obispo, A020006C, serve a notice of non-renewal of land conservation contract on Bernard H. and Elizabeth S. Duvenect for a 20-acre parcel remaining under contract after the county acquired the majority of the property through a public lot application for use as a future passive park located on the north side of Aquero Drive on the eastern side of Salinas River, about a half mile northeast of Templeton. And we believe this is in the 1st District, not the 5th District, and the recommendation remains the same. That's your changes for today.
Thank you very much. The first presentation, Mr. Shajian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It gives me great pleasure to read this resolution recognizing August 2005 as Clark Center Volunteer Appreciation Month in San Luis Obispo County. With us, President Jared, if you would come forward to the podium, please. The following resolution is hereby offered and read. Whereas the Clark Center Association has a dedicated corps of 200 volunteers in support of the Association's mission to support and promote the performing and cultural arts for the enjoyment, entertainment, and education of our community. And whereas these volunteers fulfill the needed roles of ticket takers, ushers, parking lot attendants, concession, office and box office workers for professional touring, community, and school shows. And whereas these volunteers have unselfishly worked 10,071 hours during 2004-2005 performing arts season. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors of the County of San Luis Obispo, State of California, does hereby recognize August 2005 as Clark Center Volunteer Appreciation Month in San Luis Obispo County. At this time, I want to ask Mr. Jarrett to come forward to accept the resolution, and with him would the volunteers and Michelle and your guests come forward, so we'll take a picture for the center. then welcome to shake everybody's hand and say a word. Okay. Mrs. Jarrett, are we all in the picture? Well, folks.
Make it worse.
They're chuckling.
Thanks for your appetizer down this Saturday. Very nice.
Mr. Jared or Ms. D, if you would like to say a word or two, you're welcome to do so. And if you want to introduce your newly hired help, you're welcome to do that as well.
Thank you, Katja. We'll probably do all of that. I'm Frank Jared. I'm the president of the Clark Center Association. I'd certainly like to thank the Board of Supervisors for this proclamation and for declaring August the Clark Center Appreciation Month. Our volunteers are essential to the operation of the Clark Center for the Performing Arts. They put in thousands of hours, as Cacho mentioned. They certainly do a fantastic job, and they deserve all of the recognition that we can give them. So again, I'd like to, on their behalf, I'd like to thank the Board of Supervisors for this honor. And I'd like to introduce our Executive Director, Michelle D., who will tell you a little bit more about the Clark Center Champions and what they do. Michelle?
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Board of Supervisors and San Luis Obispo County community members. As Executive Director for the Clark Center Association, I know firsthand how vital our volunteers are to the continued success of our operations. We have just three full-time staff, myself, our newly hired Jamie Marvilia, and Ryan in the box office. The rest of the operations are covered by the approximately 200 Clark Center Champions, our loyal volunteers. And just the last year alone, these champions have put in over 10,000 volunteer hours providing patron services for all events at the Clark Center as ushers, ticket takers, concessionaires, and parking attendants. I'd like to take this opportunity to publicly thank Frank and Leon Parks for their year last year of dedicated service as directors of volunteers. Our new co-directors that began in May are Pam and Claire and John Aiken are also to be commended for their ability to pick up the ball and run with it. As directors, Pam and John schedule all our champions and keep the shows at the Clark Center staffed for the safety and protection of the public and our beloved Clark Center Performing Arts Center. Pam and John, please stand up to be recognized. Our volunteer docents are led by Lois Hughes. They provide monthly tours of the Clark Center on the first Wednesday of each month. In fact, if any of you have not yet seen the Clark Center, I invite you to attend tomorrow's free public tour on Wednesday, August 3rd at 3:30. Lois Hughes. Thank you. And I believe Lois has been the director of the tours for at least 3 years. Yes. Okay. I'd also like to thank all of our usher captains, as well as our concession captains, who always have a soda, a cookie, and a smile waiting behind the counter, no matter how busy it gets at the theater. Another important part of our organization is presenting professional touring productions at the Clark Center. We open our fourth anniversary season on Saturday, September 24th at 8 p.m. with the return of the internationally known illusionists, the Pendragons, the husband and wife team that Jay Leno calls the best. During the day on Saturday, September 24th, from 1 to 3:30 p.m., we'll have our second annual open house open to the public. Starting at 1 p.m. on Saturday, September 24th, we will provide free ice cream, giveaways at the door, have entertainment provided by the Sweet Adelines, and provide free public tours. That date again is Saturday, September 24th, from 1 to 3:30 p.m. for the open house, with our opening show of the season, the Pendragons, at 8 o'clock. For more information on any of the events at the Clark Center or to learn how you might be able to volunteer yourself, please visit our website at clarkcenter.org. To all of our champions, a wholehearted thank you from our entire board of directors and staff. Thank you, Cacho, and the rest of the Board of Supervisors for honoring our volunteers with this resolution proclaiming August 2005 as Clark Center Volunteer Month. It is much deserved. Thank you, volunteers, once again, and thank you, Board of Supervisors.
Thank you. I guess no one wishes to make a comment. So
just a short comment that we speak of 10,071 hours. That's almost 550 hours per volunteer. That's a lot to be volunteer hours to give to the community. So from the behalf of the board and the community of the South County, thank you, volunteers.
Thank you. That brings us to our public comment period. I have two request to speak forms. The first is Dr. Larry Foreman, followed by Jesse Arnold. If Dr. Foreman would come to one of the microphones. You have 3 minutes, and the timer is on the podium there, so you can check your time. Thank you. Go for it.
Thank you, Board of Supervisors. I'm approaching you today.
And you have to give your name for the
record. Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Dr. Larry Foreman. I'm an emergency physician, been here almost 20 years in the county, practicing at Arroyo Grande as well as French Hospital. And briefly, I'd just like to approach the Board of Supervisors as far as helping me help children. As I've spoken to many people and to you in the past, there is a pressing problem as far as children being injured on ATVs. About a year and a half ago, I did a study, learned that there was approximately 150 children who suffered ATV injuries, with some of them being very, very serious, requiring going to the operating room, going to the intensive care unit, so very, very serious injuries. What I'm proposing is to have your help in modifying existing state law, which has been totally ineffective for the last 15 years. It actually involves, with your help, convincing legislators that the laws need to be changed to protect the children. And what I would request is for you to look into it, as well as maybe some hearings or whatever I can do to try and, again, convince the legislators to help me. Having spoken with you previously, on an individual basis, I have taken some of your suggestions. I appreciate them immensely, and am working on them right now as far as enlisting further help. Contacted my state chapters, national chapters, American College of Emergency Physicians, and getting their help. They're actually starting studies now, and also enlisting Fire Chiefs Association, approaching other community service groups as far as getting their help. And again, I do appreciate all your suggestions. So with your indulgence, I would appreciate all the backing, all the support I can get so that I can approach legislators, hopefully many of them, as far as helping this problem that is at this moment continuing. In fact, as recently as over the 4th of July week, and we had another 5 children under the age of 14 injured in ATV accidents. So the clock is still ticking. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we want to put this on the agenda, a future agenda for discussion, or shall we just discuss it? I'm looking at our county administrative officer.
I think the danger is there, and Dr. Foreman has done a great job educating us individually and going community to with different civic organizations. We can work with him individually, see what is it that we want to bring forward with some of your findings and the support of your colleagues, then make an agenda item. That will be my suggestion, how we can approach.
Well, Mr. Edge.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Perhaps a referral to the Health Commission would be appropriate on this item. They could have a discussion of it and discuss the details and make recommendations to your board.
I think the Health Commission has already done that and has already sent us a letter encouraging us to do this.
Okay. I'm not aware of that.
Mr. Edge, I did meet before the Health Commission, and they voted 7-0 in favor of my request.
So my suggestion is, do we need a vote to put it on a future agenda, or can we just agree to do that?
If I get that sense from a majority of you, we can do it.
Well, I think Katja was agreeable. Is anybody else agreeable? Okay, that makes 3. Okay, we'll put it on a future agenda. I assume the other 2 would agree as well.
Dr. Foreman, before the agenda, the item is put on the agenda, we need to be communicating as what is it we want to discuss and what is it that we want to recommend to our lawmakers to make it happen. So it's going to be a lot of legwork. I'm sure you're willing to do so to help stay in communications with us before the date comes in front of us so we're all prepared better.
Okay. Absolutely.
Madam Chair, perhaps Dr. Foreman, when he gets an opportunity, could send me a letter outlining in an ideal situation, here's what I'd like to see change in state law.
Actually, I already have the letter with me.
Perfect. If you drop it off, that'd be good.
And you'll be working with Kacho. So thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Jesse.
Thank you, Chairman Bianchi and members of the board. My name is Jesse Arnold. I live in Cambria. I'm here to speak about the myth of golden rice. This was a crop that was developed by a Swiss scientist with $2 million from the Rockefeller Foundation. The goal was to supply vitamin A for poor people in third world countries. One of the myths is that by itself it would supply vitamin A. They say they're aiming it at people who are so poor they can only afford to eat rice. Well, if you're eating plain rice by itself or golden rice by itself, either way, you're not going to get any vitamin A. And the reason is, with the golden rice, although it's got the beta carotene in there, your body can't assimilate it unless you have some fat in your diet. So going back to what I said last week, the real solution here is to get people a balanced diet. So people in the third world have rejected this crop, and probably also because it's the most expensive and least efficient way to get vitamin A to people in third world countries. So my comment on that is, just because you live in a third world country does not mean you're stupid. And just because you're the Rockefeller Foundation does not mean you necessarily know what's good for people in the third world. My third point here is that golden rice was not developed by the biotech industry. The money was put up by the Rockefeller Foundation. But as soon as the biotech industry found out that it had been developed, they got their PR machine going, and they wanted you to believe that golden rice is a magic bullet. It will work by itself. Not true. That it is being used in the third world and helping people, not true, and that it was developed by the biotech industry, not true. The biotech industry, it's for profit, it's not a charity, therefore it's highly unlikely that it will ever feed people in the third world. So please take the claims of the biotech industry with a large grain of salt. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your comments. That was my last request to speak for him from the public. I see no one coming forward, so I'll close it to the public, and we will move on to our employee service recognition.
Lady says yes.
You're Mrs. Haight, right?
Correct.
Your item is coming up a little bit. This is on anything that's not on the agenda for the day.
Madam Chair, members of the board, it's a pleasure as Personnel Director Richard Greek to be before you. And did I hear something? I'm not used to the new facility here, and I heard an echo. To be before you and assist your Board of Supervisors in the tradition of recognizing employees for their years of service. These are the folks who, by the time that they've served for the county, their assigned responsibilities, and the example they provide to all of us, continue to contribute to a safe, healthy, livable, prosperous, and well-governed community. I'd like to thank personnel staff and risk management staff for assisting us in putting this program together today. And with that, we will begin to recognize those employees who indicated they would be able to attend today with those that have provided 20 years of service. We would ask that those folks with 20 years of service come forward, pick up their pins from Mary York, and then remain standing so that if anyone wants to take a photograph, and I see at least one camera posed, that can happen. So, from the Agricultural Commissioner Weights and Measures Office, Jan Hendricks. And I do understand that for Jan, that this is a legendary day. He has a tie on. Also from the Agricultural Commissioner's Office, Rusty Hall. From the Assessor's Office, Jan Wilson. Auditor Controller's Office, Mike Cannon. And Mike, do you have your beeper on in case we have a drill? Okay, he's prepared. That's a good thing. And then from General Services, Louis Teixeira. So if all of the cameras have flashed, looks like we have one or two more. Oh, I see a few running forward. Big smiles, folks. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We also have the opportunity this morning to celebrate some folks with 25 years of experience. I would ask that Tom O'Malley from Behavioral Health come forward to the left podium here, and Brad Sinceri to the right podium.
Good morning. I'm Tom O'Malley, Mental Health Administrator and the 5th District Supervisor's appointee to the Children's Services Network. Brad Sinceri is a leader in the field of children's mental health services. For 25 years, he has advocated for and provided a continuum of care to meet the increasing needs of children in our county. Brad was the principal designer and implementer of our county's Safe System of Care program and is respected statewide for his expertise. Don Dennison of Lucia Mars School District writes, "Brad has great wisdom, practicality, and a resilient sense of humor." Julia Miller of the Children's Services Network writes, "I've never heard of Brad getting mad, even when his wife drove their car into their garage while forgetting that Brad's new Italian bicycle was mounted on the roof. The car made it into the garage, but the bike did not. Brad, we are counting on you to continue your leadership, keep your sense of humor, and plan for the unexpected."
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Julia. Don Dennison, who's not here. I didn't think anybody would ever know about my problems at home. I'll tell you one thing. If I had it to do over again, I would wear a tie today, but I didn't. And I've just had a great time working with everybody in the multi-agency systems of care, and consider this to have been a great opportunity and continues to be a great opportunity to work in San Luis Obispo and live in such a great area. I always say that it's kind of like living in a national park. Every morning I get up, I get on my bike, I ride to work, and it's awesome. And thanks again. Appreciate it.
Brad, we were a bit worried about whether or not Tom was going to hand off the clock or keep it. So, okay, next we'll move to the General Services Department, and I'd ask that Dwayne Leib come to the right podium, and I believe David Edge has some comments. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure where you were going to locate yourself.
I didn't go to the podium. I'd probably hold on to
this
the clock.
Annual evaluation?
Yeah. it may turn into that. I was anticipating us dealing with a bunch of general services employees before we got to Dwayne, so I got surprised. It's no surprise that when you look at the list of longtime employees that we have the privilege of honoring today, that half of them come from general services. I think that's indicative of a loyalty in that department, a loyalty that Dwayne has displayed to his employees over the years and that the employees have returned. And we have a lot of county history in that department, particularly at the higher levels, and that's of great value to us. It's my pleasure to ask your board to recognize Dwayne today for a quarter century of dedicated service to the county as our first and so far only Director of General Services. Dwayne was hired in 1980 to oversee consolidation of three departments into the Department of General Services, known at the time as the Dogs, and the county went to the Dogs. But it now consists of five divisions, having added parks and airport to the original mix. Prior to joining us, Dwayne had an interesting background, starting out as a custodian, which many of his employees will appreciate at this point, before working as an aerospace technician involved with Huey helicopters of Vietnam fame. He has good stories about them. And also worked on the Apollo space program. He moved on from that to the University of Buffalo, and after graduation joined the city of Syracuse as a planner, moving up to become the Commissioner of Public Works, where he enjoyed snowy winters and salty roads before deciding that the Central Coast seemed, as Brad said, a significantly more attractive place to live. Since those original days, Dwayne has overseen thousands of projects, both large and small, including two government centers, one of which we're sitting in today, significant growth in the county's vehicle fleet and parks facilities. One of the largest growth areas, I think, of which Dwayne's particularly proud, and rightfully so, is the airport, which in 1980, some of you will remember, not me, I wasn't here, but consisted of two Quonset huts and one airline. And today it is a picture of a small town airport and a wonderful one at that. Dwayne and his longtime staff, several of whom we're honoring today, deserve a lot of credit for successfully managing some massive change over the past 25 years. I should note that the change hasn't just been professional. It may be hard for the audience to imagine now, but Dwayne evidently hasn't always been the picture of svelte athleticism that you see standing before you today. By his own admission to me, when he joined the county, he enjoyed smoking, drinking, and eating to excess. He did, as you can tell, turn that around. He's now the poster child for teetotaling vegetarians. And he's an avid runner and an accomplished ocean swimmer, rightfully proud of some of those accomplishments. He's been a part of the San Pedro de Catalina Island Relay, and he's competed in the Alcatraz to San Francisco swim, finishing first in his age group in that grueling race twice. And that's a credit to his self-discipline in turning around. In addition, as most of you know, he is a car freak, and most appropriate for the guy overseeing fleet services. His personal garage includes a number of trophy winners and best-of-show classic cars. The latest addition over which he's drooling in particular is a 1965 Shelby Cobra. And for those of you that understand these things, you will appreciate that he purchased this from Carroll Shelby himself. The garage needs to be bigger than the house, and wife Linda's patience needs to be significantly big, too. Dwayne has developed a good balance of personal and professional life, achieving success in both. We congratulate him on both and thank him in particular for the professional achievements that have benefited all the citizens of San Luis Obispo County. Dwayne Live. Thank you.
Do I get to speak before Mr. Rosenberger?
No.
He's the boss today. 25 years, that's always been the case.
No, it hasn't. George Rosenberger, Assistant Director of General Services. I know Dwayne is usually the one that gets to do this for our employees, and he often laments about how many years he's been with each of those employees. Well, Dwayne and I have been together the entire 25 years, and I think... in our courts, that's called a long-term relationship. So I'll be happy. Dwayne needs to know that if something happens to our relationship, I'm entitled to half of his cars.
I've got a chainsaw for you.
Yeah. As David mentioned, Dwayne was with the City of Syracuse as the Public Works Commissioner before coming to San Luis Obispo County. And the numbers he was concerned about when he was at the City of Syracuse were the number of inches or feet of snow that he was required to remove and the number of felon parolees that he was employing in the garbage collection part of his business, which makes for some interesting stories if you ever have a chance to talk to him about it. In the last 25 years, the numbers in general services are quite a bit different than those that he encountered in Syracuse. And a few numbers you might be interested in hearing about general services and what Duane has overseen for these last 25 years. The Building Facilities Division maintains over 1.5 million square feet of buildings comprised of about 225 facilities. We clean about 750,000 square feet in approximately 85 buildings. The Architectural Services Division currently supports 200 capital projects with a value of in excess of $80 million. Our Fleet Services Division maintains 880 vehicles and pieces of equipment, which accumulate over 6 million miles a year and consume over 500,000 gallons of fuel. I don't know if that's good or bad, but the Parks Division serves over 3 million annual visitors in 13,000 acres of land, including parks, beaches, lakes, 6 pools, and there's over 200,000 rounds of golf played on the 3 county golf courses. The airports in San Luis Obispo and Oceano provide for around 110,000 annual aircraft operations, not to mention the one that unfortunately occurred last night, space for 300 based aircraft, and accommodate approximately 350,000 passengers who depart from or arrive from the San Luis Obispo Airport on an annual basis. The Real Property Services Division services over 200 active leases involving $2 million a year in annual rents and is a steward to over 5,000 parcels of county property. The department handles 1 million pieces of mail annually, prints 7 million documents, and copies 8 million documents annually. And their purchasing division has around 7,000 purchasing transactions a year for a total value of around $30 million. General Services has a combined operating expenditures in excess of $43 million and a combined revenues of $34 million. And those are just a few of the numbers. I know there are a number of General Services employees here today, so would you make noise, wave, stand up? So today, on behalf of the almost 300 General Services employees, I know that's a large number, but we got a lot of extra help folks, 6 division managers, support staff, and 1 lonely assistant, thanks for being here. Thanks for being here for us over the last 25 years, providing leadership and direction, dedication, and a little tenacity when necessary, and for keeping all those numbers meaningful. Congratulations, Wayne.
It's incredible. Thank you, David.
What about the motorcycles? I didn't hear about the motorcycles.
I have motorcycles, too, yes. I have that disease also. This is a... I'm quite nervous.
I hear you have a garage. Are you looking for a gas station?
I have a room, and I have a strategic long-term plan for an antique gas station in my lower field, Cacho. It's one of my goals.
But don't worry about it. You'll get it.
This is an unfamiliar role for me to stand here. I'm usually on the other side of this, so this is the first time I've actually had an opportunity to speak on my own behalf. And I'm humbled by this presentation this morning. And a person like me cannot do 25 years of success, the stories that you hear, without an incredible staff. And I'd just like to acknowledge a few of those people, the people who are closest to me, my managers, You're well aware of the success of the airport. It's true. It was literally two Quonset huts when I came here in 1980. And we had an airline for a brief period of time, and then they went out of business. We had no airline. So I'm very proud of what you see today. Klasha Nairn, you're very familiar with her. She is in no small part due to that the success at the airport and the future to come. It's a tremendous success story. Our fleet, Spence Graft, a personal favorite of mine, Spence and I get along very, very well. Your fleet, your county fleet, is being recognized as one of the top 100 in the nation. That's a significant achievement. Parks under Pete Jenny. When I came here in 1980, I looked at Napomo Park, and they called it a park. I said, this is not a park. This was a brown patch of weeds with a dilapidated road and falling apart facilities. It was terrible. Today, it's a jewel. Pete Jenny, the passion and the knowledge that he brings to the parks. The success of our golf courses due to Pete and Ray Festa's collaboration. Two of those golf courses that we have are on the Audubon list right now out of 33 in the entire state. Tremendous success. Turning parks into a business has been a tremendous success. Karen Madalena, our real property manager, I get nervous when she goes around the state giving speeches because I know that people are trying to hire her away. She's renowned in the state for what she does and what she can do. Bob Botta, who you will hear about a little bit later.
The old guy.
30-year employee, well-known in the state of California for all of his success. He's known as a leader for facilities management, and he has a lot of points to his credit, one of my closest associates. Two people who pretty much control my daily life, my professional life. Cindy Cousy has been with me virtually from the beginning. And, of course, the famous Tony Prentice. I don't know how I can do without her. We've been together for 25 years. And, of course, you heard from George Rosenberger, a long and fruitful 25-year association with George. There is none better. I love the man. And I've been with another county employee for 15 of those 25 years, someone who has been my personal confidant, my therapist, if you will, hears it all, the good and the bad, my wife, Linda Foster, who was here this morning. Linda Stander. So it has been a tremendous ride, and speaking of rides, I still have the car I drove to California in July of 1980. It's parked downstairs. So I tend to hold on to those. That's about all I have left from what I brought from New York, but I have that car. So, I have the New York license plate. I also have a 1944 New York license plate hanging in my office, which was my birth year. Anyway, thank you all for this opportunity to address you, and thank you for the 25 years, allowing me the opportunity to enjoy this incredible ride. Thank you. Okay.
I'd like to just comment that when I met Dwayne, it was last fall at a state counties conference in San Diego, and at the time he was smoking one of Cacho's expensive cigars, and I asked him how he reconciled that with his ocean swimming and all the rest that he does, and he assured me that he doesn't inhale. But Dwayne, thanks for your fine work.
Yeah, well, my comment is that Dwayne and I arrived, I arrived back in the county. He arrived here in the county at about the same time, and just about the time I dropped into politics. And I have always been able to ask Dwayne a question or make a comment, and I have always gotten a clear, concise answer. Oftentimes, not what I wanted to hear, but it was true. And I thank him a great deal for all of that support. Thank you, Dwayne. Is there anyone else who wishes to comment? I don't think so. So with that, one of the joys of being...
Well, Madam Chair, I've got a couple more 25 years. Oh. We still need to have some of the traditional work that Dwayne's so famous for. If you'll come forward to the left podium, he has two additional 25-year...
The list of names reversed, and I thought you were finished. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. We'll pitch it for each other here. So with that, I would also then ask that Charles Lowe come to the right podium. And Dwayne, it's all yours.
Thank you.
Charles, I've never referred to you as Charles. You've always been Chuck Lau to me.
Got your last name right, too.
Yes. It's not Low, it's Lau.
Lau?
O-W-E, yes. Chuck Lau began his county parks career in March of 1980, just a little bit before I got here, as park ranger at Lopez Lake. He would spend the next 15 years working his way up the chain of command at Lopez. In 1985, he was promoted to Park Ranger 3, and in 1990, he became the lake's park supervisor, a position which evolved into his current title of supervising park ranger, one of the top positions in our park system. In addition to his typical ranger duties, Chuck was also certified as EMT, emergency medical technician, and served several years as the park's resident ranger, responding to emergencies both day and night. By 1995, Chuck was reassigned to the Coastal District, where he has left his mark on a range of parks, including the Elfin Forest, El Chorro Park, and Cayucas Beach. Chuck's fine work has often been noted by community and partnering groups, such as the Cayucas Advisory Council, SWAP, Slow for Pups. His friendly demeanor and responsiveness to community needs have made him popular with park users and advisory groups alike. And like his days as the resident ranger at Lopez, Chuck is always ready to put time after hours at community meetings. Chuck has set a fine example for a generation of park rangers and continues to lead county parks into the future. I also know he's an avid canoeist, and he's also a craftsman, because I'm aware that he built a beautiful, I think a museum-quality wooden canoe that he should be very proud of. And he has, as I recall, a couple of very beautiful dogs.
That's right.
Chuck, thank you so much for 25 years. It's been a wonderful association.
Thank you. I'd just say, what better job could you have than working at a lake or a park or an open space area every day of the year? It's not really like that, but a lot of it is. And I've really enjoyed my tenure with the parks. It's been a good job, a job that I've enjoyed tremendously, and has helped me do many of the things that I've needed to do in my personal life. And I don't know that I'll give it another 25 years. I've got a boat building in the backyard that's been on hold for a while that I want to go adventuring in at some point in my life. So, it's been a great ride these last 25 years, and I really appreciate having worked for the county and have enjoyed it.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we have another 25-year employee who is diligently working today at the Dairy Creek Golf Course. He's also a little shy, so he's not here this morning, but I would like to read something. I know he's going to be watching this later. His name is Dan Peters, 25-year employee. He began his career with the county as a greenskeeper at Chalk Mountain Golf Course in March of 1980. Starting wage was $4.95 per hour. And that was considered lucrative and significant increase over the $4 an hour he was earning as an assistant golf professional in Bismarck, North Dakota. Dan's talents became evident early in his career. He worked at Chalk Mountain Golf Course until 1984. At that time, we decided to contract out the maintenance at Chalk Mountain Golf Course to a private firm. Ironically, Dan had received a provisional appointment to golf course supervisor the day before we transferred it, and he got a layoff notice from the county. But we were fortunate to move Dan over to Morro Bay Golf Course, where he worked as a greenskeeper for the next 11 and a half years. Dan received a promotion to the position of lead greenskeeper in March 1996, and we assigned him to the Dairy Creek Golf Course, which was under construction at that time. For the next year, he worked as the on-site liaison for county parks, coordinating and documenting the construction progress and providing general oversight for this very large project. You recall that was a very large project for us, $11 million project. Dan did an outstanding job working with a multitude of contractors during the construction of the golf course. He still holds the position of lead greenskeeper at Dairy Creek, where he directs the daily maintenance operations. In his 35 years of working on golf courses, it's included positions such as driving range operator, assistant golf professional greenskeeper, and lead greenskeeper. This extensive experience, coupled with his drive to produce high-quality product makes Dan a very valuable asset to the county golf program, and my personal thanks to Dan for helping out with the success of Dairy Creek. Thank you, Dan.
Yes.
Madam Chair, it's all yours. You might want to go ahead and move forward with General Services, and then we can go back to administration when David Edge is back in the room.
He's coming.
He is.
He is back in the room.
Okay, then let's start with County Administration.
Okay. As I started to say, one of the joys of being chair is that you get to read the 30-year statements. So if Santos Arona would please go to the microphone. Either one, you get your choice, Santos. Santos Arona has worn a variety of hats over the past 30 years, but his primary duties have been in the area of labor relations. Santos' job is difficult. He has to balance the wants, needs, and expectations of county employees with the need to honor our fiduciary responsibility to the public. He does it well, and because of that, we have historically enjoyed very positive relationships with the many different bargaining units that represent county employees. Most of Santos' career with the county was spent in the personnel department. About 3 years ago, labor relations was moved to the administrative office. Santos' good nature and optimism were immediately evident to us when he moved over. He arrived with about 50 full boxes of paper and cheerfully began stacking them into his new workplace, a 4x4 cubicle. It is true that many of Santos' peers are convinced that he is responsible for deforesting a great portion of North America. And many are also in awe of his ability to make his office in the new government center look lived in within about 10 minutes of moving in. But despite his crowded environment, Santos is always willing to share his time, knowledge, or resources. He can always be counted on to give you a cheerful greeting as you pass him in the hall, even as he is headed into a 17th meeting with an employee association on how many uniforms the county should pay for. He is well known in the office for bringing thoughtful gifts and treasures for the support staff upon his return from his various travels. Santos' public service commitment does not end when he walks out the door at night. He is very active in the community and has served on a number of local commissions, including the Economic Opportunity Commission, or EOC. Santos has been on the EOC Board of Directors for over 10 years and has served as the chairperson of that board since 1997. His efforts on behalf of those among us who are challenged with poverty, neglect, or illness reflect his strong professional and personal commitment to serving our community. Thank you, Santos. And now,
Madam Chair, I think we have a few people that want to talk about Santos because of that outside service that you mentioned, our Biz and some colleagues from EOC are here, and I think they have some words to say because Santos has been just a tremendous asset to them in his dedicated service. For us, as the CAO, although Santos has been with us for 30 years, he's a newcomer relatively to the admin office, been with us for 3 years. We moved over. It's been great having him in the office. Figuring out how you can get so much paper in such a little space was truly instructional, and his ability to do that was memorable. He's been working with Gail on labor relations since he came over. His depth of knowledge and ability to give her background has been absolutely vital to her success in dealing with what's a difficult subject, what's a challenging subject, and it's an area that requires a sense of patience and a knowledge that Santos displays in spades. And so we're grateful to have him in the office, and particularly grateful that he's been with the county for so long, and we look forward to him continuing to help us out. So thanks particularly from us for Santos' work in the office.
Thank you.
Yeah, you see, I can vacancy.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to say a few words also about Santos, and I can't see Biz now. Oh, I see, in your contraption. I echo what David said about the wealth of information that Santos brings to the office, and he has the patience of a saint, which is great because for those of you who know me, I missed that gene somewhere along the line. So we're very effective as a team. He has 30 years of experience. He remembers an amazing amount of detail, and he has such a laid-back personality that it doesn't even bother him when I frequently point out that I was in seventh grade when that happened, so he'll have to be a little bit more patient with me. So he has been in the administrative office for about 2.5 years, I think, mm-hmm. and the transition was very smooth, solely owing to his ability to make that transition, especially given the size of the cubicle you were put in. Wealth of information, as David said, we're really appreciative of all of his efforts. So, Biz, would you, can we help? Oh, great.
Does it fly? Hi, Santos. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to...
You still have to give your name, Biz. I'm
sorry. I'm Biz Steinberg, and I work for the Economic Opportunity Commission. Over these last many years, as Santos has been so involved, of course, as an employee here at the county, he has also given of himself. He has, as was mentioned in your reading, Ms. Bianchi, has served as our chairman since 97. But what I don't think maybe many people realize is back when Santos was at Cal Poly as a student, he served on the EOC board and was sitting in the Board of Supervisors chambers that used to be the old personnel office over at the building that you were in before. That's when I remember first meeting him. And over these last few years, as we have grown as a nonprofit, we have a large program with Migrant Seasonal Head Start. We have many programs. Whenever we need to have someone there supporting or being the lead on a discussion, Santos is there. He's been part of national presentations in the issues of fighting poverty in this country, and he serves as an incredible role model to all of our parents, our homeless families, everyone that we serve. And those of us, there's a few of us here today, just want to thank him on behalf of our board of directors, staff, volunteers, and all the families for all of your commitment to our agency and our community in your voluntary role. Thank you so much, Santos.
Thank you. Well, I don't really talk a lot, you know. I just go to meetings. But I do want to thank the board for the acknowledgement, the kind words from Mr. Edge and Biz and Gail. But I do believe quite literally what Shirley had mentioned earlier. We are stewards of the taxpayers' money. And I've always approached it that way. Hopefully the people on the other side of the bargaining table have realized that I do this because it's taxpayer money, and I really hold that true to my heart. But also, I don't talk a lot, so I really don't. And I just want to thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, maybe in 30 more years he'll learn how to cook chicken at the annual barbecue.
Is that all you wanted to say, or do you have some more?
No, there's not much more you can say about him, because when he did move him over into the front office, he was visible, very visible. And when I said administrative office, and he's done an excellent job, and there is no truth to the rumor that he caused Biz Steinberg's injury. But... No, it's an interesting, he's a good all-around person to deal with. And beyond that, I would get into satirical things, and we've had that already. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Santos.
Thank you, Santos. Would Mr. Botta please come to the microphone? Well, you have such a short way to go. This is Robert Botta, and many county employees may not recognize him. but he has been a factor in all employees' lives for over 30 years. His style is to let his staff shine as he stands quietly in the background. He is responsible for all maintenance to county buildings, all custodial, all construction, capital improvement programs, renovation, furniture, retrofits, utilities, painting, sidewalks, parking lots, lights, emergency generators, fire systems, and so on, and so on, and so on. Or, as it says here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He is the director's go-to person and has been for 25 years. Thousands of projects, multi-millions of dollars of responsibility, and he does it with a terrific sense of humor and a dedication and focus that is second to none. Robert is a graduate of Cal Poly Architecture. He had a career in the private sector before coming to the county. If you ever had dinner at 1865 Restaurant, you were in one of his buildings. He has had a guiding hand in every county building, including this one, and is recognized as a leader in the state. Our county job order contracting, JOC, program is recognized as a model in the state, and Robert was the leading edge of JOC for our county. Our county won an award for the CoGen program he initiated. One cannot overemphasize how important he is to the General Services Department and the county overall. All employees have been the beneficiaries of his labor. He has focus, he has passion for his job, and he is a superb motivational speaker. You may think 30 years is a significant achievement, and it is. But it needs to be pointed out that his 85-year-old father still works full-time in aerospace and drives his car all over Southern California. At Robert's age, he can still work another 30 years and almost match his father's record. Please join me in honoring Robert Botta for 30 years of truly outstanding service. Mr. Botta.
Madam Chair, members of the board, thank you very much. I'm humbled by your comments, and it's not every day that I get to speak to the board for my 30th year anniversary, so I made a few notes. I was hired in 1974, and I was just a young man at the time who wanted to design and build something. Little did I know what was in store for me here at the county. From medical facilities to main jails, from air terminals to golf courses, fire stations, libraries, from playgrounds to this government center, it's been an unbelievable opportunity for a guy that just wanted to build something. I didn't do all this alone. In fact, major projects are like motion picture productions. Years in the making with their own cast of characters. And I'd like to acknowledge some of those characters that I worked with for these many years here today. In the Building Facilities Division, we have Architectural Services. And for 23 years, I've worked with Kathy McNeil, who is currently working on our Johnson Avenue campus to reuse of the Johnson Avenue campus, a major project. I worked 15 years with Greg McDougall, who worked on this very building that we meet in today. About 18 years with Jim Herman, who has rewritten the catalog on playground equipment, literally. He's just an amazing designer for playground equipment, amongst many other things he does. And 15 years with Kim Romero, who is our architectural technician. Kim keeps us all in line. She's the information and the nerve center of architectural services, plus all the other capital project coordinators who do such a fine job in maintaining and building and remodeling all of the county's needs. I applaud them for the work they do. We have a fine staff in maintenance and custodial services. These people work the back of the house, unsung heroes. They keep our facilities operating. And this county has major facilities that operate very well. We're very proud of what they do. I want to acknowledge all of them. There's too many there for me to name. Roger McPherson, he's our building maintenance superintendent. I worked with Roger for 17 years. He's my go-to man in the division. And Roger, thank you for your support, and you make my job easy. Outside of the division, in General Services Department itself, I have to say, my friends and peers, the division managers, the other division managers, are such talented, knowledgeable, and dedicated people. I'm proud to work with them. They keep me on my toes because they are always on their toes. And there are Pete Jenny, he's our parks manager, Klasha Naren, our airports manager, Karen Madalena, our real property manager, Spence Graff, our fleet manager, and Jim Gator, our general services administrator. Your board and this community are really well served by these people. And I know I've got 30 years on the inside. A special thanks to Dwayne Leib, the Director of General Services, whom I've worked with for 25 years. I'd like half of the cars too, Dwayne. And George Rosenberg, your Assistant Director, whom I've worked with for 30 years. Many people don't know that George was on my hiring interview. It was the children hiring the children back then. The culture of our organization is established at the top, and General Services is a workplace that brings a can-do attitude. It mixes professionalism with humor, and it's a great place to work. And I believe that Dwayne and George established that culture. Over these many years, I've appreciated their counsel, I've enjoyed their confidence, and I value their friendships. So Dwayne and George, thank you. And last, but not least, my special friends in the heartbeat of General Services, Cindy Cousy, whom I've known since she was a teenager, and we won't say how many years that is, and Tony Prentice, who I've known almost as long. We can't do it without Cindy and Tony. They are the heartbeat of General Services. It's been a wonderful, challenging 30 years. I've got some more to do before my work here is done. So thank you very much for this acknowledgement. I appreciate it.
Is Brock Carter here? Brock's first permanent position with the Department of Parks and Beaches was as a Park Ranger 1 at Avila Beach in October 1974. In 6 months, he was promoted to Park Ranger 2 and then Park Ranger 3 by 1976. He has spent most of his 30 years providing county parks with a firm anchor at our North Coast parks and beaches. A surprisingly good mimic, Brock's sense of humor has come at the expense of parks management for many years. However, his strong sense of public service is well known to his co-workers and the community alike. As noted in a recent letter from a visitor to Cambria Shamel Park, he is well respected by the residents as well as all of us that are just vacationers. For more than 30 years, Brock has helped define the service attitude of county parks. Congratulations on all you've accomplished, and I didn't use the other name you didn't want used.
Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to?
Well, I was just thinking back. I replaced a ranger that had been there 20 years, and I thought, my God, how could somebody stay in a job for 20 years doing the same thing day in, day out? And here I am 30 years, and it just seems like a blink of an eye. The town was so much smaller then, no stoplight. I'm getting used to that, by the way.
I've Thank
done
you.
It once. I get reminded on a weekly basis by people that show up in the parks in Cayucas and Cambria. You know how lucky you are to be working where you're working. And I said, you don't have to tell me. I've been here a long time, and hopefully I will be be around a few more years. Anyway, good. It's been very enjoyable. Thank you very much.
And our Shamel Park up there is the jewel of the North Coast, one of the many we have. Is Bill Mahan in the audience? And I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
You did.
Okay, good. Bill began his career with the Department of Parks and Beaches in 1975, no doubt attracted by the $3.39 hourly wage. It was far superior to the $3.35 he was making as a gardener at the Madonna Inn. His positive attitude and hard work were noted even in his earliest performance evaluations. Bill has always been willing to do whatever it took to excel at his job, including certifications as a water treatment operator, emergency medical technician, vessel for hire operator, and more. Bill's career has been marked by compliments from both co-workers and the public. As early as 1976, a letter of praise from a FARC visitor stated, "Bill is not only a hard-working, conscientious young man who evidently enjoys his work, but also has a great knack for handling the public." So after 30 years, he's no longer a young man, but that work ethic and public service attitude still shine through. Congratulations, Bill.
I've just got two things to say. This isn't a job. I've known over, as I've gone older, getting older, I've found that it's a pleasure going to work. I love this job. I can't believe I'm a park ranger. I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a park ranger. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have one final 30-year employee who was unable to attend, but Dwayne Live has a brief statement that he requested to read.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, before I honor Roland Granger, I'd like to also talk about the three individuals you just honored. Bob Botta, 30-year employee, none better. I've enjoyed my working relationship with Bob. I can't conceive of working with anyone else at this point. Brock Carter and Bill Mahan, superb county employees that really, truly enjoy their job, and it's a pleasure to have employees that enjoy coming to work, are proud to wear the uniform, and I think their positive attitudes are transferred to the public they serve on a daily basis. They do great service to the county. And one person I forgot to mention, I'm a little bit old, and I do tend to get these senior moments, one of my other close associates. You heard George talk about all the financial conditions of general services. They're many and varied, and there's one person in the department that keeps track of all that, and I'd like to recognize Jim Gator for his outstanding service to me and all the members of the department and to the county. He's our financial wizard. With that, I'd like to then turn attention to Roland Granger. Roland Granger started his employment with the county in general services as a reprographics technician 1 in 1974, earning $3.08 an hour. Through the years, he was promoted to a Repro Tech 2 and then 3, and is currently the reprographics lead worker. Roland started when reprographics was located in the old bus depot. It's across the street, or it's on this block, adjacent to where Hudson's Grill is now, and has spent 30 years fostering the growth and fine reputation of the reprographics division. Roland is an incredibly reliable and dedicated employee and always maintains a friendly, positive demeanor.
General Services is constantly barraged by compliments and kudos to the reprographics unit, in no small part due to Roland's attention to his customers and consistency of service for so long. And I am the recipient of those kudos, and I have to tell you I'm somewhat overwhelmed by the sheer volume of thanks we get for the reprographics unit. My congratulations to Roland for 30 years of outstanding service, and thank you.
That concludes our employee recognition awards, and I think it's a credit to this county that we have so many people who stay here so long, and it's a credit to the employees and to the way they treat each other. So thank you all very, very much.
And thank you, Tony.
With that, we will go on to the consent agenda. I have one request to speak form. Dr. Thomas.
Good morning. Greg Thomas, Director of Public Health. Today is a day of significant recognition and acknowledgement. And so on your consent agenda items, I wanted to call attention to three public health employees who are retiring, and they're not here for one of these public recognition and presentation calendar items. But Lily Anarud has been a health education specialist at public health and a number of other positions for 17 years. She has certainly left her mark. Diane Ayers, excuse me, has been a physical therapy and occupational therapy aide and in the California Children's Services program in the medical therapy units with us for 15 years. And Janet Santacqua has been a public health nurse in field nursing, working most recently with the high-risk infant program for 11 years. All these have brought their expertise with them, and they certainly have left our mark, and I want to acknowledge their service to the county and to public health. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, I will close it to the public for consent and bring it back to the board. Mr. Ovitt, are there any items you wish to pull?
No, Madam Chair.
Mr. Patterson?
No, Madam Chair.
Mr. Lenthal?
No, Madam Chair.
Mr. Ashajan?
I just want to publicly thank those, Dr. Thomas brought it to our attention, who are retiring for all the good job they have done for us and for our community.
Okay, thank you. And I have none.
With that, I move approval of the consent agenda items.
Second.
May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ashajian?
Aye.
Mr. Ovitt?
Aye.
Mr. Lenthal?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mrs. Bianchi?
Yes. And with that, since the staff made a mad dash over here to be here for the next item, we will now take a 15-minute break and return at 10:30. But I appreciate the fact that they ran over. Thank you.
How much? 30?
15. 15. 10.